Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. Something that I've wanted to do ever since I started my podcast was to go back with past guests and get updates on their businesses, their lives, and what they're up to. And today, I'm super excited to bring you one of the first of these updates. So about a year ago now, I spoke with Sherry Tracy from Orglamix. And well, actually, the episode didn't drop until, I believe, February. But we were speaking around this, like at the time we're recording this interview, it's been a year, and so much has changed. And we're not going to be talking about the typical podcast subjects, if you want to call it, like growth hacking and making XX dollars from X marketing campaign or doing X thing with your conversion rate to make, you know, to print more money, whatever. But today we're going to be talking about, like, I guess kind of like the reality, if you want to call it, like the honest truth of running an e-commerce business and like the ups and downs, the entrepreneurial roller coaster that we ride every single day as business owners, and just the effect of that on our lives and our personal lives and how ultimately it could lead to our happiness or to, I mean, like our literal death, which that sounds really scary now that I said it out loud. But anyway, thanks so much for coming on the show again, Tracy.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm a little bit afraid. I don't want any death mongering over us. So
yeah, no death.
Reaper,
forget I said that.
don't.
Yeah, forget I said that. It's because Halloween's coming up. So it's just, I'm in the mood. No, but.
Halloween is my high holiday. I love Halloween.
Halloween's great. I love this time of year. Well, okay. I love part of this time of year. Like Q4 is great. I love Q4, the holiday part. I mean, the work part. Like, I mean, the work's fun. It's just a lot. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, it totally takes a lot of preparing. And if you're not used to, like, the preparation aspect of your business, like, it all goes to hell in a handbasket very quickly.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. It's insane. I agree.
It's crazy. We're about to get right in the middle of it. But anyway, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to, like, during this busy time to speak with me. To get started, for the people who didn't listen to the last episode, which I will link down in the show notes below, by the way, what is Orglamix?
Okay, so Orglamix is a small batch cosmetics manufacturer. We make cruelty-free natural cosmetics here in Chicago. I started on Etsy in about 2010 and slowly have grown. I'm still on Etsy, Shopify. I sell in multiple marketplaces and we have a line of about 600 SKUs. And last year we did approximately, I think, about 25,000 shipments throughout the year. So it's a great small batch business, and I'm very proud of my work and everything that I do day to day concerning the brand.
Yeah, it's a super cool company, really great products. And the episode we did last time was really awesome too. She dropped a ton of value bombs, so definitely go listen to it after this episode if you haven't already. But speaking of you, Sherry, so you talked about your company. Who are you?
Ooh, who am I? I, aside from Orglamix, which is, I feel like, a really big part of my overall being, it's my joy, my passion, and everything that I do from day to day. I'm a mom. I have two little girls. I'm married to my high school sweetheart, and we live in a small suburb outside of Chicago. I have a couple of different brands that I also do. I just started a new fragrance company called Wicked Good. I have a brick and mortar called 312 Tudor here in Glencoe, Illinois, with my business partner from high school. And I'm starting another personalized company. So that's kind of what I do day to day.
Wow, a lot going on. You have a lot going on. And last time at this year, your business was in a very different place. Do you remember where you were last year around this time?
I feel like last year was a good learning year for me. I had just started working with a business coach. I had learned what I wasn't liking in my business. I was taking on, you know, working 80 hours a week. And I really needed to hire help. So I outsourced I actually hired two people, both part-time. I grew my virtual team from one person to three people, and just started working on processes for my business that helped me sustain what I was doing and just be able to work less time day to day.
Yeah, 80 hours a week. That's intense. How the heck were you doing that?
You know what? It was honestly, looking back, I think I could work that amount of time and not feel bad about it because I love what I do. So to me, it doesn't look like when I started, my biggest thing started with when she was like, we need to track your hours and what you were doing. I did not realize I was working that much. I would work all day when my kids are at school. I'd put them to bed. I would work. And I would work most weekends from the time I woke up at 6, 7 to, you know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon or whenever my daughter had her soccer game. So it was like I was trying to jam it in. Like, I wouldn't even think. I'm waiting in line at the grocery store and I'm answering emails. I'm, you know, whatever I was doing, I was constantly working. So having it all being tracked was really eye-opening to me. That was like, oh my gosh, you know, I made and I'm proud of my revenue profits from last year. But when you take into consideration all of the actual hours that I was working, I was like, oh my gosh, that's like really a lot less than what I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, like some people do the same thing you did. They like track their time. Like I forget who I saw this or who did this, but like someone tracked their time. I think I read an article or something, but they tracked their time and they went back and they looked at it and they're like, oh, wait a minute, I can make more just like scooping ice cream for minimum wage or something.
It's true.
Than running my own company, which is funny because like you don't think that. How did you track your hours? Like, what was your process for that? And like, what tools did you use to like figure out like, holy crap, I'm working 80 hours a week?
Yeah. So I forgot the actual tool that I was using. My business coach, Amy, suggested it. And I'll find out and then you can link it in the show notes. It was, I forgot what I was using, but it was interesting because any time, and then it also tracks, which was interesting. So at that time, I didn't have an assistant who was helping with me with any of my social media. So a big part of my brand is engaging in, you know, whatever the platform, be it Pinterest or Instagram or Facebook, I'm constantly working on engaging. So I didn't realize what a huge commitment that was as well. Constantly just keeping up with interacting with customers, which is very important to me. And all of the time on that I think I was spending 20 hours a week just doing that.
Dang. So you're working part time at your own company in addition to working full-time and part-time again.
Yes, and trying to be a mom and a halfway decent wife, which God love my family, but my goodness.
So how many hours are you working now that you've got this kind of like these systems figured out?
So I'm clearly not perfect and it's still a little bit of a struggle, but I work usually Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I try and work from about 8 to 4. And then so 3 days a week, I work 8 to 4. And then I have off usually on Wednesday and on Friday are my free day to let me do whatever creative project I want to work on, whether it's starting a new company, working, you know, I consult to several Etsy brands, working with those, scheduling interviews, that type of thing. So Fridays are definitely my best day.
Yeah, that's something I actually noticed whenever we were like trying to schedule the interview, going back and forth. I replied to your email and it's like, if you reply on a Friday or a weekend, we'll get back to you on Monday. Does everybody take off on Friday or like how does that work?
I have a new warehouse, which is going to be interesting and we're still transitioning into that. But previously we've worked from my house and I have a lab on the third story of my house. So I have my employees come here. Obviously my virtual team my virtual team will work on Fridays. My actual employees that come in do not work on Fridays. So Fridays are like usually my quiet days and nobody is here.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you went from working 80 hours a week nonstop to now you have Fridays all to yourself. Like, how did you...
Half a day Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, and how did you...
I just worked probably about 24, 25 hours during the week. That's crazy. Not to say. I mean, I'm working on a special project right now, so I've been working weekends for the last, like, month, but You know, it's something new and exciting, so that kind of fuels it. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's just about, and you know what? While I think it's important to note, like, my overall, if I'm going to be totally truthful, my overall revenue is down. But that is because I have decided, like, we weren't working as, you know, on all of our listings. We've scaled way back on Amazon. My Etsy sales are way down just because I don't like play in the Etsy SEO games and everything that they're changing and doing and whatever. It's just been a nightmare for me. So really the only thing I've been focusing on is my Shopify store. I have a new division of, I have a CreateJoy site for our subscription box, which is going really well. I mean, my growth is like explosive on there, like 600-700% month over month. So it's just been crazy. And that's been a really good thing.
Yeah, I think it's crazy because like so many of us start our companies and our businesses because it's like, oh, we want freedom, right? We want more time to do what we want and like all these things. And then we end up working these 80 hours a week like you. Do you miss that extra revenue that you don't have anymore, or do you like the extra time better?
No, I don't miss the revenue necessarily because I felt like it was constantly hustling. So like when you're on Amazon and they take such a big, you know, chunk of the revenue, my profitability overall is way up significantly. And that's something that I've put a lot of time and thought and energy into. So it's up. So that makes up for a significant portion of the missing revenue. So I don't feel like I'm making the same amount of money, but working not as much. So I think you have to be really strategic in trying to figure out what you really want at the end of the day. And I think that's something that's not really discussed a lot. Like people are maybe saying, you know, my revenues are in the millions, and but they may be not profitable, even though they're
right,
selling
not
that
profitable,
much.
Overweight, getting doesn't talk to their family, have no friends anymore, divorced, whatever, like blah blah blah, like everything else bad happening, but their business is growing.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people are just working to work or to say that they're a seven-figure business when at the end of the day, they're not profitable. So I kind of, it all depends on what you're looking for. I mean, I really always wanted to be a seven-figure business. And when I stopped to think about it, it was like, I want to be the seven-figure business because I think that's what I had to achieve in other people's eyes to be successful. And that was something that was hard to like let go of. It's like, no, you can have a successful business on your own terms and doing something that you love and enjoy that's significantly profitable on your own terms. And that was kind of hard because you listen to a lot of podcasts that are out there, and I'm not saying yours, but there are a ton out there that are like, you know, we're striving for 8 figures, we're 9 figures, we're this, we're that. And it's like, if you look at them behind the curtain, you're going to look and you're going to see they have 7 figures worth of debt, or they're in up to the next in venture capital funding. And, you know, they've strived for the last 4 or 5 years to build this company, and at the end they have a sellout, and they're lucky to walk away with, you know, a couple of bucks. And I don't know, that was something that just needed readjusting in my own mind to be like, this is okay. It's okay to do it on your own terms. And like you and I had discussed prior to, you know, getting on this call, it's just like, I don't like the term lifestyle business because I feel like it's a little bit degrading, but in certain terms it is, you know, a business based around what is important to you and your values that you help hold high, and building it successfully around those terms.
Yeah, totally. I know. And I completely agree with the whole lifestyle business thing. It makes it seem like you're not running a real company. But really you're running a company. Like a lot of the people who use the word lifestyle business, come from a background that's like very venture capital and like shoot for like trying to build the next Casper. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, it's okay to not want to do that.
Right.
And it's just what's funny is that a lot of these businesses, these quote unquote lifestyle businesses are actually a lot more profitable, and the people running them are a lot more happier, and the people running them are actually making like take home income a lot more than the people who are running these, you know, companies with $10 million in funding and like, you know, teams of hundreds of people, whatever,
yeah,
working
exactly.
on this mattress or whatever. Mm-hmm. I hate to use Casper as an example because I think they're actually doing okay on the profitability side. I don't know. Every time I mention them, someone's like, actually, they're profitable. I'm like, oh, really? I can't talk crap on them? but anyway.
Yeah, and I think
no
it's
specific
kind
examples
of sways,
here, but.
Yeah. It sways month to month with them because right. And it depends who you're listening to, or I don't know the team that runs it, but it's just interesting because it's very up and down. So
totally.
That they would be a great interview for you. So let's work on that.
For sure. I'm trying. If anybody knows somebody at Casper, hit me up, Dylan@wavebreak.co. I'd really appreciate the intro.
Please.
No, but yeah, I really love what you're saying, Sherry. Like, the happiest people are clear on what they want. And so many of us start our businesses and, like, you know, we're working these jobs that we hate. Like, for me, I was, before this, I was doing sales. I thought I wanted to do sales, and I'm like sending all these cold emails, and I'm cold calling you. Sorry if I ever cold called you. if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to do it anyway, but it sucked, right? And I wanted to create this business with this freedom, but it's so easy to get caught up in those numbers, like you were saying, Sherry, instead of like, wait, I wanted this freedom to, you know, work less, make more money, and just have fun working on different projects and travel more or do these different things. Like, how do you make sure that like you're staying focused on what you want? And like, how did you get clear on what you want?
You know what I think, and I totally agree. I think that it's, my clarity came from a moment where I almost had a nervous breakdown, and I'm like, I cannot sustain doing this. Like a year ago, my Christmas season, oh my gosh, it was like, I was just treading water and I'm not enjoying any of it. And I just couldn't do one more thing. So I had made the decision every year. I feel like I'm struggling to like meet my goal. So I'm going to hire a business coach, and I hired a great business coach, Amy Wright. I do not think she's in the business anymore, but I love her very dearly. And she totally set me on the right path. She was like, you are doing the job of three people. You cannot sustain this. So you can't see that, I know, because you have an entrepreneurial mindset. So you are going to do what's in front of you. And we just need to set, like, how much time are you spending? Let's do that for 2 weeks. Okay. This is how much time you're working. How many hours do you want to work? Like, what's important to you? What fulfills you? And I was like, oh my gosh, I love like the creative aspect of the business. Okay, well, you have 600 SKUs, Sherry. You know, 20% of those SKUs are bringing in 80% of your revenue. So let's cut them back. How do we give you that creative outlay? So that's when we were like, we're going to launch my subscription box, because every month it's different. It's a creative outlet for me. I get to work on, you know, 4 to 6 different products every month. And that is my creative, like I push all my creative energies into that. And then all the other SKUs fall back into our core line. So it was kind of like finding a good balance of what worked for me.
Yeah. And I really like how you said you like brought somebody else in. Hiring a coach for me personally has been huge. And also, like, not just investing in my business and business training, but training in myself has done wonders for my business, because like at the end of the day, like you can only put into your business what you have in yourself, which is like, has been really crazy for me to think, like, because before, like, I mean, last year, not gonna lie, gained a lot of weight, and I'm a lot more productive now that I have like kind of got that off, been exercising. I didn't kind of get it off. I got it off. Now I exercise like 6 days a week, and not because I have to. It's like, I want to, I like it, whatever. But anyway, I wouldn't have noticed that or like seen that if I hadn't like brought somebody on to help me, you know, with my fitness, see the things I can't see, help me be honest about where I'm at. Because the number one person I think we lie to is ourselves. And it's like, oh,
clearly,
this is okay. And we make all these exceptions, like, oh, like I need this 70,000 a month or 85,000 a month to have this 7-figure company. But really, like, you're lying to yourself. You don't really need that. You don't even want that. But we're so caught up in it that we don't even know. So it's really helpful to bring in that outside person.
Mm-hmm. And then I think it's like interesting once you do hit that figure that you've been striving for, you've been striving, you know, you work so hard and then you finally get it. And it's kind of like, I expected like fireworks and champagne and like,
yeah.
I don't know. And then like reality set in very quickly. And it's kind of like, what in the bloody hell? This is not what I had envisioned.
Yeah.
It's none of it. I just, no.
It's almost demotivating. It's like, man, this upgraded Vitamix really isn't as good as the last Vitamix I had.
Yeah, same with my iPhone. So, like, right. Go figure. But I think it's just, you know, I think it's really putting everything into perspective and finding out what is important for you and your family and, you know, what you want to do, and also what gives you like a so funny. My husband is so supportive of me. He's like texting me right now. He's like, how did your call go, babe?
That's great.
And he's celebrating because he's cooking dinner tonight. But I just think it's important to figure out what you want out of everything. And it's okay to change and jive as you go. Like when I set out to create this business, it was one thing, you know, it's to pay for a little bit of incidentals, you know, my daughter's daycare, soccer lessons, dance lessons, whatever it was. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was a no-brainer. Like I want to start paying my mortgage. I want a bigger house. I want a better car. I want, you know, and then it's like, okay, well, that's a no-brainer. What do you want now? Do you want a warehouse? Do you want a, you know, do you want a corporate center? What do you want?
Mm-hmm. No, it's crazy. And it's so true. Like you first, before, like you're going to be really unhappy if you're not clear on what you want, because if you're just working and just going through the grind, like going through the motions, nothing's ever going to satisfy you. Also the opposite of this, like what we're talking about, like that's also true. Like it's still okay to want to grow a 7-figure, 8-figure, 9-figure company. Like some people, they just want to do that and that's going to make you happy. But like for other people, it's like you don't have to go after these goals and after these targets that other people set for you. Kind of like you felt, Sherry, like everybody thinks, oh, you don't have a real business, or it's not a like it's you're a fake, you run this fake lifestyle business because you're not at 7 figures in revenue. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to mm-hmm. like your numbers should only matter to yourself and not other people.
Yeah. And I'm listening to my friends that are all like, you know, VCs, and they're telling me like, oh, well, it's not really like much unless you're hitting 7 figures or whatever. So that was always my goal, to like validate through them. But you have to find your own validation.
For sure. It's just like I always compare, for some reason, I always compare e-commerce to fitness on this podcast. I don't know why, but like in fitness, if you're lifting weights, like you can't just go lift the same weights as the person next to you. Just because they're heavier doesn't mean it's the best weight for you, because you might not, because your muscles might not be big enough to handle it. So it's just important to like it, like really everything, like just like you're saying, like the context of you personally, like that matters the most, and getting clear on what you want and not what other people want for you. You're just gonna end up so much better off. And I like the progress you've made in your business. It's so funny, like this was not, we were talking before we got on the call, like this is not the call that we kind of like expected to have. Like if last year at this time, let's say we're talking about next year, like I would have just said, like if we're talking about having you on the show again next year, and if I said what you were going to tell me then, now to you, your mind would probably be blown again, let alone if it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
for
that
sure.
made any sense. I just ran around
yeah,
like six
for
circles.
Sure. No, because like, I mean, listening and to be honest with you, I did not listen to my previous podcast because it's like cringeworthy listening to my voice. And I didn't listen to it until I got, until this morning, actually. And listening to it is just like, oh my gosh, you know, we had described like I'm fast and furious and I really love building brands and I love moving and shaking and whatever. And I'm not like looking back on that. I don't know if I like just like to feel like I'm doing things, but I like to feel like I'm making a significant difference really quickly. So I think, you know, going forward, I'm going to adjust that like a little bit. Like I have known a little bit, like recognized a little bit of static or friction with like Orglamix being like, it's running the way it is, quite profitable, but it's not Fast and Furious. So my fix to that is like, okay, well, Orglamix is good where it's at. So I'm going to start a new company and I'm going to move on to that and kind of like let Orglamix run behind the scenes. So yeah, maybe that's.
No, that's cool. And it's like you're finding out what works for you and like what you're good at and what your strong suit is. Like, in like that's one of the biggest things that's helped propel my business Wavebreak forward is like before, back in the day, it was like I was trying to be this awesome like acquisition expert, like doing SEO, doing Facebook ads, all these different things. But then I discovered what I was really good at is retention marketing and helping people retain customers using email marketing. And once I doubled down on that, that's when my business just started taking off because this is something I really enjoyed doing and it was something I was a lot better at doing than all these other things. Yeah, exactly. Like, it just fits.
It just came to you. Yeah. And so like, I feel that's really interesting because for this podcast, I wrote down like three things that really did not work for me, like that were a total bust last year. And that I was like, these were my goals to like start out last year doing. And one of them was outsourcing my PPC, which went over with a huge flop. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you. Just a bad flop, a belly flop.
And then
the second thing that didn't work well for me at all was outsourcing my Facebook advertising. I tried one independent like Facebook advertising person. It was okay. I guess looking back, it was probably the best out of the three people that I had tried. And the other two were two companies and just, oh my gosh, like I had spent, and my budget previously was not a lot. So I had, I think maybe I had agreed to maybe spend $1,000 a week. Like 2 weeks in, they had spent $2,000 and maybe, if I'm lucky, brought in $500 in sales.
Oh man. After they show you their amazing case studies, making like people $20 every time they spend a dollar or something.
Yes, seriously. And so I'm like, is it me? Then I tried another agency and I had the same. And you know, not only that, it's just like their messaging, their branding, to try and convey that to somebody else is very hard. And so I just thought the ads were a little bit off. I don't know if it was their targeting, their messaging. I don't know. Because like I said previously, I know enough about Facebook ads to make myself dangerous. But I do know when I do the ads myself, I can put in a dollar and get $6 or $7 in return. So I may be back to square one doing my own, which I don't want to be doing day to day. So it's like, I have it all off for right now. I'm just done.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. Cause like, I don't enjoy doing my Facebook ads. So I'm not going to do it.
I know that's one of the hardest parts about using like an outside agency or service. Like, so I run Wavebreak. We're an e-commerce email marketing agency. We work with different e-commerce brands and we completely take over their email marketing. And one of the like from brands who like really care about their, or not even just from brands that care about their brand image, but like the, like a lot of companies are very cautious about like how do we give this up, right? Like how do we give up our email channel to these guys? And like luckily through like lots of trial and error, lots of testing, lots of different experiments and just working and refining these systems, like I've been able to create this service that's really an extension of your team. But like it's so hard to find these agencies. Like I can't recommend any other email agency besides me. Just because like I haven't found anybody who's good enough. I don't trust anybody enough. Like nobody else knows what they're doing. Nobody else invests the amount of time and money into their clients the way we do and learning their brand and into design and all these things. Like they just outsource it to, you know, somewhere in the middle of, I don't know, the middle of the desert. And these people run this stuff, but it's like, they can't learn your brand. They don't know it. They can't take the time to understand it. They don't know. They don't even know what font is on your website.
Yes. Oh my God. That's a huge thing. And I felt like when I had hired both agencies to do my Facebook ads, it was like they had utilized a person who was reviewing, say, one of our subscription boxes, and a beautiful girl. I love her dearly. And on the ad itself, there were like 20 negative messages regarding her eyebrows. Like, her eyebrows are so off, or she had, you know, multicolored hair and like, she's so ugly and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, has nobody been managing this? Like, is it my job to go in and manage your ad? You couldn't have seen from 30 days ago, this started to go like downhill and shut it off. It's just amazing to me. So I think embracing the whole brand and becoming an extension of somebody's team, which is very hard to do, but it can be done in, you know, outsourcing your work, that is somebody that you're looking for, an extension of your team, not just somebody to do the work and paste it together and then say that they are going to work on it when they are a small agency and then actually outsource the work. Because I found there was such a huge disconnect. It was like, I can tell you right now, he is not writing my ads. He is not, you know, so that was really eye-opening and a little bit disheartening. But
absolutely,
I think that you have to find the right people. And I think it's like good to start small, but you have to be very hands-on as a brand owner, like religiously call, you know, have a call once a week and seeing that the work that they're putting out and the samples and approving that. And I was trying to be more hands off just because I did not want to deal with it. And I just thought, like, you know what, this is a great team. They've been recommended by friends in the e-commerce space that I know are getting great results, but I didn't feel the same for me. And maybe it's just, I'm a little bit more, no, that's not even true. I was going to say I'm a little bit more like protected with my brand and the whole, my whole branding, but that's not true.
Yeah. I would even say that doesn't even matter. I mean, I've worked with people who are very like very specific, like we will not use photos of hiking or trees or whatever, like this specific in their brand. And the problem is a lot of these agencies, like they think they can just take all of this money, get all these clients, and they get the client and then they think they're done. Like, oh, cool. We have this extra recurring revenue now. Like, this is great. But like they're not actually investing. Like the reason why we're able to do what we do at Wavebreak and like really become an extension of a brand is because we invest time and money. Not every like once per month, you know, just doodling around, checking. I don't even know how you would do it in email. Just like checking how your campaigns are doing. Like, no, like every single week we're doing something to like move the needle forward, or investing in design, like bringing on like our lead email designer. Like she used to do emails for Alex Nani. And so she's really good at what she does. And it's just so many of these agencies that like try to go to India or to, I don't even get it. They just think it's an easy way to make money. But if you really want to, like for me, I want to build a business that's sustainable here for a long time, gets clients amazing results. Like I really sweat the results personally, but like it takes time and money to invest in, and get those results. And I like most agencies, they do suck. Like every single person I talk to on this podcast, they talk about like, Oh, I've been burned by this agency, this agency, this agency. Like I can list like five episodes of people who said that on the show alone, and probably more who didn't say anything. So it's just, I mean, yeah, like be careful because most people, there's a lot of people who lie too, which is very dangerous.
Right. And I don't think they set out to lie. I just think it's different for every, you know, e-commerce client. But I do have to say, so what you are saying is very different because strategically you are building your team. And that as a CEO is a good outlet to like, that is should be your number one goal is building your team. Because if without your team, you don't have anything. There are so many people that we have tried to outsource to. And I love them all. Like when I was working with the leader or the CEO one-on-one, like my Pinterest person, she was awesome. She was doing it for a long time. She wanted to scale and grow her business. But you know what happened? After a while, she had outsourced me to another person. And after 3 months, I could tell significantly, I'm not getting the same quality that when I was working with you. So what's happening here? And I think a lot is like, for us to, you know, just build our teams and do it with the mindset that we have that, you know, teaching them what we know to move on.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think a lot of people scale way too fast as well. Like I think one of the biggest flags for agencies, like if you look at these agencies, a lot of them claim, oh, we're the best because we're the fastest growing. That's a really bad sign, because that means they're constantly training and people are constantly learning on the job, which is not what you want when you're going to invest like thousands of dollars in advertising and PPC management, all these different things. But anyway, we could talk about that agency stuff forever. But anyway, as we wrap up here, you said some really great things about how the happiest people are clear on what they want, and like just like how we should focus on our personal goals first before we get into the whole, oh, I want to make seven figures, X figures, blah, blah, blah. Do you have any closing thoughts or words of advice to end on as we wrap up?
I hate this part. I would just say that it's important to look at like e-commerce as a long game. Like, what do you want in the long game? Like, happiness, what is it? It's not about like the end of the journey. It's just kind of in learning as an entrepreneur to embrace the journey and enjoy the steps along the way. And if you're not enjoying the journey, you should pivot right then and there before you get to the end, so that you can readjust your goals. And it's a process, because when you get to the end, if you're not going to be any happier at the end if you're not enjoying the journey as it goes. Take it from me, you're not.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if you don't take it from her, you're going to find out sooner or later. and it's gonna be it's the sad truth. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show again, Sherry. I really appreciate you coming and taking time out of your day off on Wednesday to update us on your business. Where can we go to learn more about you, what you're working on, and Orglamix?
Orglamix.com is our website. So if anybody wants to reach out to me, any of the contacts on Orglamix.com will come to me, and on social media, every Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, we are Orglamix. It's Orglamix. So if you have any questions or want to reach out, I'd love to connect with you. Please let me know.
Awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to link that up in the show notes below. Thanks again for coming on the show, Sherry. I really appreciate it. It was just a really fun conversation. I'm glad we got to talk honestly about something that's really not talked about ever. Nobody really talks about these ups and downs.
The struggle is real, people.
it's real. And it never ends.
No.
Or does it? Is someone listening run like a $900 million e-commerce store? Let us know if your struggles are over.
Yeah. Or just let us know if your struggle is over and you hit 100K. Like, we want to know about it. Or if it's not like, just reach out, because I want to know, like, what is making a significant difference to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. We got to get an interview with that person. Yeah. Hit me up. Dylan at wavebreak.co. Seriously. But anyway, that about wraps up this episode. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Sherry. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been awesome. Thank you for having me back. And I look forward. We will meet again in a year. And
yes.
We'll see where I'm at then.
Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be fun.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much. Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue. And you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. and it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Waybreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number 3, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to waybreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at waybreak.co for it as soon as possible, and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.